The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So we want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast tonight. I'm Ricky Scapell, the founder of End Time Headlines, and we welcome our podcasters, our YouTubers, and our Facebook Live audience. We thank you for tonight for taking a little bit of your time out to come on here, or depending on if you're watching this tomorrow or listening to this or whatever your time is, thank you for taking that time out to get into this message. I believe you'll be blessed by this. I want to share with you some prophetic insights into the story of Legion. I'm going to be reading a portion out of Mark chapter 5 today, and the other backdrop of this is Luke 8. The gospel writer of Mark, he gives us a portion of this or a perspective, and then we go to the gospel of Luke, and he gives us a greater measure of this story out of out of the gospels about the story of Legion and the man that was demon possessed at the Gadarenes. There's so much prophetic insight in this, in just one passage of scripture, that I want to pull out tonight, that I believe you're going to be blessed by this. So let's get started on this thing. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read this portion of scripture, and then we're just going to plow a little bit deep into this. And then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I have to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." And then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. And now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned into the sea. So that is our context tonight of scripture. And I just pray, let me pray real quick. Guys, give me about 10 seconds, 10 to 12 seconds. I want to pray for the Lord's blessing to be upon this message. And then we're going to get right into this thing. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word. I thank you that your word never returns void, but it prospers in that what it's sent forth to do. I pray that the anointing would reside upon this word, the anointing that breaks yokes, breaks chains, breaks fetters, and sets men and women free and captives free, that lifts darkness off people, removes veils from people, and sets the sinners free tonight. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So guys, there are some very powerful prophetic insights that I want to pull out of this. Number one, it says there was a man there in the Gadarenes with an unclean spirit. So the man, this was not a man that had issues, whether it be the man had psychological issues, or he was having a bad day, or he just had some problem. No, this man was bound by an unclean spirit. He had in fact, the Bible says he had many spirits, for he had a name in which he revealed to Jesus, and his name was Legion, meaning many. Some scholars say there was up to 1,000 demons that took possession of this one man. Over 1,000 demons took possession of this one man. And as a result of this man's demon possession, it pulled him into a place where he dwelled. He made a living. He camped out. He spent all of his times in the tombs. or among the dead. All right? And then we read that no man could bind him with chains, for they would bind him with chains and shackles, and they would be pulled apart. So he possessed superhuman strength. It says, neither could anyone tame him. And night and day he was cutting himself in the mountains, crying out with stones. Now I want to show you some very powerful prophetic applications to this. Number one, this demon-possessed man was bound and dwelling in tombs. I'm going to read you some of this. Many believers are bound and demonically oppressed. Now, I will say this, very few, I believe personally that very few are possessed, but there's a lot that are oppressed. Let me say that again for all of our podcasts, for YouTube, and for Facebook Live. Very few are possessed, but the majority of individuals dealing with this type of, with this type would be possessed, but just because you deal with mental problems, depression, an infirmity, or a stronghold, or a lust, it doesn't necessarily mean you're possessed, but it could very well mean you're oppressed. And to make this real simple, possession means complete control of. Notice this man didn't have control over himself. Okay? He didn't go out in public. He remained behind the scenes. He remained in undisclosed locations. He was in tombs. He was in dead places. He was in dark places. He didn't want to make social interaction or activity with people. So thus, I could tell you, probably everybody that's listening to this broadcast in some way, some form or fashion is not possessed, but oppressed, because if you were truly possessed, you wouldn't even be on this broadcast. You wouldn't want to be on here. You wouldn't want to hear anything about Jesus or anything of that nature. Unless someone brought it to you, to your environment, you are not necessarily going to go to that environment. I hope that makes sense, okay? Watch this. Many believers are bound and demonically oppressed and make their dwelling in dead, cold, callous environments. Howbeit, dead churches, dead environments, lifeless associations. They make their residence in dead churches. They make their association with spiritually dead people. They don't want to hang around with red hot, on fire, spirit-filled believers. Why? Because the darkness in them would be exposed by the fire in whom they're associated with. Have you ever noticed that when you, if you know people that are backslid, the first thing you'll start noticing about backslid believers, backslid Christians, is they'll start isolating themselves from other believers that are on fire, other churches that are spirit-filled, churches that believe in casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, setting the oppressed free. They believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. They believe in the gift of prophecy and discerning the spirits. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit. When they, you're not going to see, come on, people that are bound, people that are dead, and they're dead in their walk with God, or have no desire to be on fire for God, they're not going to have any desire to be in that kind of environment. Instead, come on, dead people want to hang around with dead environments. I've always said this, I can gauge your spiritual thermometer based on the atmosphere that you like to be and make conducive. Let me say that again. I can determine your spiritual thermometer by the type of environment spiritually that you like to be in. If you only desire to be in a church that is not on fire, that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, doesn't believe in signs, wonders, and miracles, doesn't believe in casting out devils, doesn't believe in operating in the supernatural, but you just want dry, dead, denominational religion, where people come in the same, they leave the same. People come in oppressed, they leave oppressed. They come in depressed, they leave depressed. They come in bound, they leave bound. There's no moving of the Spirit. There's no fire operating. There's no anointing that's flowing to break any yokes off people. Nobody's getting set free. Nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting delivered. Come on. I don't know about you, but that atmosphere makes me nervous and it makes me uncomfortable. I want to make my abode, I want to make my residence somewhere where I'm comfortable. And listen, I'm comfortable in the fire, not in the ashes. I don't want to be in what used to be. I want to be what is in, what is burning. So again, many places, churches, howbeit this, I'm using this language so you can understand more what I'm saying. Many churches today do not operate in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit and fail to recognize demonic oppression and possession even among their own congregation. Let me give you an example. Go with me to the book of Luke 13, 10 through 17. If you've got your Bible, you could turn where with me. If not, you could just listen. Luke 13, 10 through 17. Let me show you an example of a church with no anointing, no discernment, and no fire. And I'm going to tell you something. It was like this for a long time. Now, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. Now, here's a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. So this is not, she had a bad day. She had arthritis. She had fibromyalgia. She had a back problem. She had a slit disc. She had neck problems. No. That was probably what all these spiritually dead believers wrote her off as, oh, you know, that's his sister so-and-so. She's been that way for 18 years, and she's been to every doctor, and we've laid hands on her, and, you know, it's just, that's just how it is, and praise God, hallelujah, she's just sick because she's giving God glory. No, it's because no one was there that had the authority and the power to set her free, or the discernment to recognize that this wasn't just a pulled muscle or old arthritis setting in. This was a spirit that this woman had. And this was not a sinner. This was a daughter of Abraham, meaning she was in covenant with God. Hello? Listen to this. She was bent over, could no ways raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, come on, this day was different. For 18 years, she came to the same synagogue. She came in the door, came out the door. Nobody had any authority. Nobody had any power. Nobody had any discernment. Nobody believed in healing. Nobody would set her free for 18. Could you imagine 18 years service after service and you can't get deliverance? You can't set free. The first thing I think of is, my goodness, lady, find somewhere else to go. But can I be honest with you? Back in this day is a lot different today. They didn't have a synagogue on every corner. They didn't have a church. We've got cities that has over 300 churches just in one city. So not everybody has the luxury like a buffet spread to pick and choose what kind of church they can go to based upon the location they're in and the denomination they're in and what they believe in. Not everybody has that luxury. So that day was different because Jesus was in the house. Come on, here comes Jesus, the one in whom which was anointed to set the captives free, to let the oppressed go free, to heal the brokenhearted, and that the blind with eyes open, that healing would be expressed. Watch this. So Jesus sees this woman. He calls her to himself and says, woman, listen, oh, I love this. I love Jesus. I love how he operates. Jesus didn't interview her. He didn't ask her what her problem was. He didn't say, how did this happen? He didn't say, how did you open the door for this infirmity? He didn't say, oh, this teaches you a lesson. You should have did this, and you shouldn't have been doing that. And if you weren't doing this, then this wouldn't have happened. And I guess you're, you know, this is all this. No, he didn't ask her any of this. He didn't put her through a resume, an application. He didn't do an interview. He didn't do an interrogation. He walked straight up to this woman and says, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he lays his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now listen to this. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. Here's another indicator that you might be in a spiritually dead environment. Watch this. If healing breaks out, if someone gets a miracle, someone gets set free, someone gets saved, someone gets delivered, the drug addict who's been a drug addict for years and years and years gets set free, the prostitute in town comes into your church and they get set free, come on somebody, or a drunkard gets set free, and when the whole church should be celebrating, the elders should be celebrating, the pastor should be in jubilation, the place should be going bananas because revival has broken out, you think that people would be in jubilation and celebration. But listen, when you're in a dead, dry, spiritually dead environment and a miracle takes place, the majority will not celebrate the miracle, but they will condemn the miracle and call it either the work of the flesh, emotionalism, or of the devil. Oh, it's going to get quiet in here tonight. Spiritually dead, dry people always are the first to nitpick, condemn, criticize, and critique any move of God, any salvation experience, any experience that we have with God. They are quick to dissect it apart. Now, I'm not saying that we're to be ignorant. I'm not saying that we're to be naive. I'm not saying that we should not look for fruit. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you, friends, I would much rather celebrate with an individual that just got healed and delivered than to be one to sit on the sidelines and call it a work of Satan and blaspheme the Holy Spirit. But that's not even really, this is only a part of what I want to get into tonight. Let me go back up here. All right, so number two, it says here in the story of the Gadarenes that men try to bind him with chains and fetters. Instead of trying to get the man set free, they try to shut him up and set him down. Golly, guys, let me say that again. Instead of trying to set him free, they try to bind him up. Oh, another indicator of a spiritually dead, dry environment is when people, instead of trying, because they don't have any anointing to set you free, they just want to chain you up and set you down. Can we just put that brother in the back? We know that he's got something going on with him, but we don't want him disrupting the service. We need him to sit in the back of the service so that he's not disrupting the service and setting an example for new people that's coming into the church. No, why don't you get with God? Why don't you get on a fast, call a fast, seek the Lord, get in your prayer closet, get in the Word, get in His presence, get filled with the Holy Ghost. And instead of trying to bind the man up and shut him down, why don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost and cast that thing out of that man? So again, dead environments that lack the Spirit of the Holy Ghost are full of religion and are good at binding people with their religion, with their doctrines, with their denomination, and with their traditions of men, but they're not capable of operating in the anointing to set people free. Come on, can I get a witness, somebody? So number three, listen to this. Number three, the man cried out day and night. Did you know, believe it or not, that the person that you will probably want to despise the most, the person that you don't want to disrupt the service, the person that you might be embarrassed by, the person that stinks, the person that's not dressed like you, the person that may not have your haircut, they may not be the tither of the church, they may not be the prestigious person, they may not be the beautiful person, they might not be on the platform, the choir, they might not be a deacon, or they may not be an altar worker. They might be a drunkard. They might be a prostitute. They might be a drug addict. They might be a reject. They might be someone who's been abused, someone who's been forgotten, someone who's been rejected, someone who's been wounded, someone who's been hurt by the church. Did you know that many times the reason why they are not in the church and they're hiding out? Come on, the Bible says the man hid in tombs away from society. Many people don't go to church because as soon as they walk in the door, they're being judged by everybody else. You don't want to hear this tonight because this is raw and it's real. But the Bible says the man was crying out day and night. Nobody would help him. They just kept binding him, kept trying to put a Band-Aid on him, trying to get him chained up and shut down and shut up. But the man was crying out day and night. Oh, that someone, come on. So that tells me deep down inside, even though this man had 1,000 spirits, he had 1,000 demons that took residence in him, deep down on the very inside of this man, in the heart of hearts of this man was crying out day and night. Why was he crying out day and night? Because he was seeking for someone who had the authority, had the power to set him free. Friends, there is people all in our neighborhoods. There's people in our community. There's people in our churches. There's people in our families. They don't want to go to your church. They don't want to be around you. Maybe it's because we're looking down on them with judgmental attitudes, judgmental tones, and we're trying to, before we even get them in the church, we've already prejudged them. We've already cast judgment on them to the point where they won't even come to our church. They won't come to our meeting. But listen, if they ever get around the real deal, my goodness, if they ever get around the real moving of the Spirit of God, if they ever get around a real, true, anointed woman or man of God that is operating in the Spirit of God and the love of God, friends, I'm going to tell you something, they won't run from you. They'll be, even though the spirits may try to retract them from you, their heart of hearts, their spirit man on the inside that's crying out, will run to you to be set free. Is this not what happened? Listen, let me go over here. Watch this. When he saw Jesus coming afar off. In other words, he saw Jesus afar off. The Bible says he ran and worshiped him. My goodness. He ran and worshiped him. Oh, that we would have services. Oh, listen, I know some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about right now, but I'm going to tell you, I remember 19 years ago when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I remember services that I was in little rural country areas of Kentucky. I remember Holy Ghost revival services that I was a part of. Thank God, thank you, Jesus, that I had the luxury of being a part of these services. I was in some of these revival meetings where a preacher never had to give an altar call. He never gave a word. He never had to manipulate the altar call. I'm telling you, there was such a presence in that place. There was such a Spirit of God moving in that place that there was drunkards there. There was sinners there. There was drug addicts there. There was whores there. There was people that were not qualified, shouldn't have been there, wasn't even wanted to be there in that church, but they were drugged there. They were invited there. They were manipulated to come there. But I'm going to tell you, when the Spirit of God showed up in that place like a blanket that fell in that place, the Holy Ghost began to fall like rain in that place. I'm telling you, there was no altar call that had to be given. These people just got up. The Spirit of God was compelling them. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. They ran to the altar and they gave their heart to Jesus. They repented of their sins. They came up a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old had passed away and all things had become new. I'm telling you, friends, prophetically speaking, we've got to get back. One of the things that Elijah did is he rebuilt the altar of the Lord. It's time. Listen, we've got to start rebuilding the altar of the Lord. We got to get back to what works. We got to get back to what's right. We got to get back to the foundation. We got to get back. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Come on, is anybody tired of lifting up programs? Tired of lifting up denominations? Tired of lifting up names? Lifting up platforms, lifting up networks, lifting up everything but the name of Jesus. Listen, you can lift all that stuff up, and pride can get so big, and self can get so fat, and egos can get so large you can't even fit through the doorway. Come on, but if you start lifting up the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, people won't need to hear your podcast. They won't need to read your banner. They won't need to know you on Twitter or Facebook. I'm telling you, they'll know. Word comfortable get around that something's moving, something's operating, and something's real, and they'll come running to where you're at because there's something on the inside of you that has the ability and the authority to set them free and not set them down. Come on, we don't need people setting down. We need people setting free in Jesus' name. Notice number four, notice the man was cutting himself day and night. He was physically afflicting himself. This is one of a major indicator of demonic, heavy demonic oppression and possession. When you see people begin to, when you see people start injuring themselves, howbeit cutting themselves, trying to commit suicide, hanging themselves. Just the other day, on End Time Headlines, I had to report a story about a 4 or 5 year old. No, I'm sorry. Yes, it was either somewhere between 4 and 7 years old. I can't remember the exact number, but nevertheless, too young to even be having this discussion. But they hung themselves. Now, friends, this was unheard of when I was growing up in school. I'm 43 years old. We didn't never have these kind of things happen in our school that I knew of. I mean, sure, people took their own lives, but not 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. I mean, and you're hearing about this all the time. In fact, suicide rates at an all-time high between in young people. So what is going on? Guys, again, it's demonic oppression. Satan knows his time is short and he is pouring out his wrath. He is coming against the sons and daughters. Why? Because there's a major prophetic word over them in Joel chapter 2. Satan knows this. He knows that God is going to, even on a greater level, pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters would be affected by this. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Sons and daughters would dream and have visions and be used by God in these last days. So no wonder the enemy is trying to cut them short in their life so that they cannot fulfill their purpose and their destiny. But there's such a spirit of confusion that's gripped our nation. The kids don't even know who they are. They don't know their personalities. They don't know what gender they are. They don't know. There's such a mass spirit of confusion and madness that's come upon the nation. Why? Because we need a move of God. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like never before. Now watch this. I got to show you this. But everything changed when Jesus showed up. Everything changed when Jesus showed up. Later we discover that Jesus shows up, the man gets delivered, the man gets set right in his own mind. Let me read this. Let me read this portion from the Gospel of Luke. Same story, different angle. Listen what it says. Luke 8:34-39. And when those who fed the swine saw what happened. What happened? The spirits came out of this man at the Gadarenes. And I love that he had no name, because that's going to come into play here in just a second, because I'm really going to plow in just a minute. The Word of God never gave this man a name. He's a nobody. Keep that in mind. But these demons came out of this man. They came into the swine, and the swine drove themselves into the sea. And the Bible says in verse 34, those who fed them saw what happened. And when they did, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. See, I'm telling you guys, listen, it's going to sound like an oxymoron when I say this. But good preaching is good. Listen, I love good preaching. I love good teaching. And we need it. We need to be fed. But friends, I'm going to tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ came not by word only, but by power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And when power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost shows up, friends, it's going to get the attention of everybody around. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to run and they're going to tell everybody. Here, that's exactly what happened. The demons come out of this man whom the whole town knew. Everybody knew who this man was. And the demons came out. They go into the swine. The swine go into the ocean. The people saw it. They ran into the city. They ran into the country. And they told everybody what happened. And then they went out to sea. So here comes the whole town. Here comes the city. Here comes the country. They come out to see what happened. And they came to see this man Jesus. And when they found the man whom the demons had departed out of, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now again, let me stop. You would think the next verses would say, and then a mighty revival broke out in the city. A mighty revival broke out. A mighty awakening shook the Gadarenes because of what they saw. And a man who was bound, and a man whom they couldn't set free, and a man whom they put chains and fetters, and they kept him in bondage, but had no authority to set him free. But someone finally came along with the authority and the power to set the man free of 1,000 demons. You would think revival would break out. But the Bible says when they saw the man sitting at his right mind and clothed, they were afraid. And as a result of it, the Bible says in verse 37, the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them. What? For they were seized with great fear. And listen what this says. And Jesus got in the boat and he returned. Notice he didn't force his will upon the people. Notice he didn't say, no, I'm going to stay anyway because you people need awakening. You people need a move of God. Why are you people even raising pigs anyway? They're unclean. Come on, somebody. He didn't force his way. Can I tell you something? Jesus is not going to force himself into your church. The Holy Spirit is not going to force himself into your gathering. He's not going to force himself into your family. He's not going to force himself into your marriage. He's not going to force himself into anything you have. The Bible says, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears me knocking, let him open the door and I will come in and I will sup with him. He says, draw near unto me and I will draw near unto him. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. He said, I am a rewarder of those whom diligently seek me. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, friends, the reason why most people are not experiencing revival, the reason why most churches are not experiencing revival, experiencing awakening, is because they don't want it. Either one, it disrupts their life and their lifestyle. Number two, they don't understand it and they call it the work of Satan because they've been taught that junk. Or number three, they're afraid of it. They're scared to death of the supernatural. These people had never seen a miracle of God like this, and they were scared to death of it. But Jesus had a plan B in his pocket. Golly, Jesus had a plan B. Jesus said, oh, that's okay, because watch this. Listen to verse 38. And now the man in whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. In other words, Jesus, I indebt my whole life to you. For years and years and years, I lived in the tombs. I lived in a dead, dry, barren place. Nobody could set me free. Nobody could break the chains. Nobody could set me free of demonic possession. But you've come and set me free. I give up my life. I truly forsake all, take up my cross, and I'm going to follow after you. But listen what it says. But Jesus told him, no. He sent him away, and he said, return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you. And he went his way. The Bible says he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things had Jesus had done for him. And this is where I want to close with this right here. And that is, oh, come on. Nowhere in the Bible did it give him a name. There's a reason why. And I love it. And it reminded me today when I was putting this message together today, there's a song that's been in my heart for about 3 weeks now. And it's a song by Casting Crowns. And the chorus, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who saved my soul. Let me say it again. See, this man didn't have a name because he was a nobody. And Jesus said, listen, I don't want you following me. You're just a nobody that I want you to tell. Go back and tell everybody about somebody. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. About somebody who saved your soul. Listen, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Golly, and nowhere in the Bible did it say, Jesus didn't say, hey, you got to come with me because you got to get, you got to go through a course of discipleship for about 3, 4 to 5 years. You got to get your doctrine in this. You got to get some theological seminary schooling in. You got to get some degrees in your name. No, he didn't do any of that. He commissioned him. Well, what gave him the authority to do that? I'm going to tell you what his authority was. I'm going to tell you what his commissioning was. You ready for this? It was his testimony. Whew. Come on. Somebody should shout with me right here on this. Listen, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I don't have a degree. I've never been to seminary school. I don't have degrees. I'm not a deacon. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. That's okay. Nobody knows my name. That's all right. Nobody knew this guy either. But guess what? We're all nobodies. That God wants to tell everybody about somebody. And listen, this one man got set free that everybody knew. And by his test, come on, we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Why is a testimony so powerful? Listen, Jesus understood these people don't want revival. They're afraid of it and they're telling me to leave. But that's okay. I can leave because what this man has experienced today and what he's got now on the inside of him is going to be just as powerful as if I was staying right here. So this man went back to the town, began to proclaim what Jesus did for him. And your Bible says, read it in Mark. You can read it in your own time in Luke 8. Read the very next verse. It says the whole town, the entire region came out to hear what this Jesus had to say. Oh, I just want to close with this. Listen. People are tired, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Preaching is good, teaching is good, equipping is good. But friends, when are we going to see the power? Where's the authority? Where is the presence? Where is the anointing? Because good preaching, listen, if good preaching is all it takes to win the world, then we would already won the world. But I'm going to tell you something. When you go overseas, you better have something more than good preaching. Because there's some witch doctors over there. There's some people over there operating in demonic powers that can do some supernatural things. But you got to take, come on, the God that's greater on the inside of you, than greater is he that's in the world, and take him over there. You got to bring with you the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you that quickens your mortal body. And Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works shall you do because I go into the Father. So I hope tonight, I know this is a little different. I hope this stirs you up tonight. And you say, well, you seem like you're a little excited. Yes, because listen, spiritually on fire people get excited about the Bible. They get excited about the Spirit of God. They get excited about the Word of God. Why? Because we don't just read about what God used to do. We begin to live out what God is doing. Come on. Aren't you tired of hearing about what God used to do and tired of hearing about Him doing it through everybody else? Don't you want your own testimony? Your own, come on, your own experience with God. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice tonight or day or whenever they're watching this or listening to this broadcast. I'm asking for the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking for the fire of the Holy Ghost, the Lord, just to touch them, breathe on them, stir on them, stir them up tonight. Lord, blow on the embers in their spirit and rekindle the fire of God back in them again. Lord, if they recognize by the Spirit of God that they're dwelling in dead tombs, maybe they're in dead, dry churches that resist the Holy Spirit. They resist the move of God. They resist revival. They resist signs, wonders, and miracles. They resist these things. Then it's time to step out and be set free from that. And if you've got to go across town, if you've got to go wherever you got to go, you've got to find it. Get into a place where the Spirit of God is moving. Go where Jesus is moving and He is welcoming. And friends, then you will see chains fall. You'll see fetters fall. You'll see bondages come off. You'll see addictions broken. You'll see sinners saved. You'll see deliverance. You'll see signs, wonders, and miracles in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you. And Lord, if there's anybody watching this tonight, God, that are maybe there's somebody watching this or listening to this on podcast, watching on YouTube, watching on Facebook, and as they were watching this, Lord, something on the inside of them was stirred up because they recognize, Lord, they may not be possessed, but they feel like they're oppressed, Lord, to something, some type of bondage. Maybe it's a fleshly addiction. Maybe it's a mental stronghold, whatever the case would be. I'm asking, Lord, nobody can touch them right now, but Father, I know that your word is tangible. Father, your word says you sent forth your word and you healed them. Lord, your words are spirit. They are life. They're sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm asking that you would release your word right now. Lord, release your word. Release your Spirit of God. Release the anointing right now to break every yoke. Touch them where they're at behind this screen, whether they're in their office, in their car, in their living room, wherever they are. Lord, touch them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Set them free. Break them out. Pull them out of darkness and bring them into your marvelous light. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Guys, that's where we're going to close this tonight. Listen, before you check out here on podcast, on Facebook and on YouTube, we got some quick announcements we want to make. Number one, just 3 days from now, we'll be back in Cordon, Indiana. We'll be back there at God's Church with Pastor Tim and Debbie there at God's Church in Cordon, Indiana. We'll be there at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We're looking forward to being there. We're looking forward to that gathering together. So if you're anywhere in the Ohio region, Kentucky region, Indiana region, and you feel like coming out to be a part of that, you can find more information at on our Facebook page on End Time Headlines or Remnant Revival. There's going to be more information for that meeting as well. Again, continue to pray for us. We are in the process of creating our ETH app. We're in the process, again, of creating our ETH app. We're excited about that announcement. And also, End Time Headlines has, we're excited to announce we're expanding our borders. We're expanding our influence. And I had a conversation this week with a good friend of mine that I have not spoken to in a long time. Her name's Jennifer LeClaire, and she oversees many networks, Awakening Podcast Network, Awakening Television. She's an author of several books, and she used to formerly work at Charisma Magazine. But we've been friends for many years. I met her years and years ago, and we got in contact this week. And she has invited our ministry to be a part of the Awakening Podcast Network. So we're now, ETH is officially part of that network. It's a whole network of other ministries. So we're on there with very well-known ministries. And we're so honored to be a part of that. And we're excited about that. Why? Because it's enlarging our influence, enlarging our territory, enlarging our expansion of reaching people. So now we're going to reach a whole group of individuals that we would never reach on Facebook or YouTube or whatever because of that opportunity as well. So God is opening doors, and we're excited about this to reach more and more souls, even outside of the United States and all around the world. So again, we appreciate you guys. And we appreciate your prayers. If you'd like to know more about this ministry, how to partner with us, how to support our ministry, you can do that. If you're watching by Facebook Live here, there's a right underneath this under the description, there's a link there. It says support End Time Headlines. If you click on that link, you can go there and you can pray about whether it be a monthly partner, a one-time gift, or whatever the Lord puts on your heart. For some of you, this may be your home church, and we have an ETH community online church. Jessica put the link up there in the broadcast. So if you want to click on that link, you can be a part of the broadcast as well. I don't know if she's still on here or not. But guys, we have a YouTube channel. I'm almost every week we've had people ask, do you have anything? Do you have a study on fasting? Did you do a study on this? Do you have any messages on this? All of our archived messages, we're trying to put them all on podcast, but they're all on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is it Ricky Scapero, RickyScaParo. And if Jessica's already off here, I'll type that on after I get out of here. I'll put that up there. Or you could just type in End Time Headlines. It's under either or, and it'll bring it up. And you're going to see that. But we're talking hundreds of messages. So anything, you could just search in there for whatever topics you're looking for. And we've got teaching, we've got programs on that we've done in years and years past, and even recently. And a lot of these we resurface because we've got so many more people that are joining week after week after week, new people and new viewers and new members to our ministry and supporters of our ministry. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your intercession. And thank you for your either your partnership or your monthly support to this ministry. Without your support, we would not be able to do what we're doing on a weekly basis and reaching the people that we're reaching. So we appreciate you guys. Again, all you podcasters and YouTubers, if you'll just hang on right after we close this, there's more information on how you can become a partner of our ministry. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.